We've heard of the great wealth transfer that's taking place as baby boomers pass away, but did you know that women will inherit the majority of those assets? Hi, I'm Rob West. It's true. The great wealth transfer is really horizontal, with widows inheriting most private wealth before it's passed on to the next generation. Sharon Epps joins us today to talk about how women should prepare. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Sharon Epps is the president of Kingdom Advisors, and she's been poring over some statistics that are really quite surprising. Sharon, great to have you back.
Thank you, Rob.
So this term, the great wealth transfer, has of course been around for years as the baby boomer generation has aged, but there's really been very little attention paid to preparation of those who will be inheriting the wealth. Wouldn't you agree?
I do. And you might be surprised to learn that women represent the majority of the inheritors, because women generally outlive men by 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, perhaps as high as 70%, will become widows and inherit their deceased husband's share of the couple's assets. Mm. And then at the same time, these women have or will likely receive an inheritance from their parents as well. And they're more likely to be working and receive their own paycheck income. That's three streams of incoming wealth. So research by the management consulting firm McKinsey & Company suggests that by 2030, which is just 6 years away now, women will have control of two-thirds of the U.S. assets, or $30 trillion, and that's a lot of money.
$30 trillion. Yeah, that is incredible. Well, you've spent a large part of your career, Sharon, counseling women on wise money management and encouraging generosity. I know that's near and dear to your heart. This wealth transfer opportunity offers a significant moment for generosity, doesn't it?
It does. And we've really found that three primary factors that lead to a life of generosity are purpose, passion, and plan. The first factor is that a strong sense of purpose guides greater generosity. In fact, in a study by Women Doing Well, women with the highest score on their sense of purpose gave an average of 14% of their income to charity, while those with lowest scores on the scale gave 9%.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Well, if a strong sense of purpose is one factor that leads to more giving, I know you mentioned a couple of others. Unpack those.
Well, among aspiring givers, those are women that would like to give more. Their top two challenges are a lack of financial planning and a lack of passion. Almost half of the women had one or the other, both of those. And we talk a lot about the planning part here at Faith and Finance, but what about the passion? Well, passion is a deeply held belief that's so strong it leads us to sacrifice and suffering. When our hearts align with God's heart, we notice what he notices, we love who he loves, and we do as he does. Passion enables us to make giving decisions with courage and conviction. And a quick note, our passion often comes out of our own suffering or pain.
Yeah, and so you can see how tapping into that is really key to unlocking generosity. Now, there's a lot more to women's generosity than just writing a check, of course. So how should women prepare, Sharon, for the responsibility of inherited wealth?
Well, Rob, you won't be surprised to know that it starts with the same foundational truths and spiritual disciplines we teach here at Faith5 for everyone. The top three influences are a growing conviction that God owns it all, personal spiritual disciplines of Bible study and prayer, and receiving Bible teaching on stewardship.
So are there differences then in the ways that women give compared to men?
Yes, National Christian Foundation recently released a study that found that women are twice as likely to be participating in collaborative giving. They're more likely to want to work with others to make a bigger impact for the causes they care about. And that means they may not only pool resources, but they also like to strategize together about the best ways to give. They also are seeking more than just a transactional experience when they give. They hope their giving will transform their lives and might become a tool for discipleship within their own families.
Yeah, I love that. Is there any place you could suggest they go to find that community? I mean, perhaps they find it in their church or locally, but organizations that come to mind.
Well, there's several. I would first start with Women Doing Well, as well as Generous Giving and National Christian Foundation.
Excellent. Well, Sharon, we so appreciate your time and energy in this. I know this is something you're passionate about. And folks, if you get connected to these organizations, Women Doing Well, Generous Giving, and others, you can really set yourself up for a lifetime of generous giving. Sharon, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Sharon is president of Kingdom Advisors. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Who do you turn to when you're in trouble? In Genesis, Jacob was in trouble. His trickster ways caught up with him when he stole his brother Esau's blessing, but he turned not to the Lord, but to his uncle Laban, and was tricked into working for him for 20 years. Jacob called out to the Lord during that dark season, and he waited for decades, but the Lord did answer him and brought him back to the land of his fathers. Jacob testifies in Genesis 35, "God answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone." Next time you're in trouble, look to the Lord. That's the better way, and He'll answer you in all your distress. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today. Just visit getanchor.com.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
My name is Isabella, and I received my Operation Christmas Child shoebox shortly after the fall of the communist regime in Romania. During this difficult time in my life, this shoebox was a splash of color in my black and white world. You can make a difference in the life of a child by packing a shoebox through Operation Christmas Child. To learn more or to pack a shoebox gift online, visit samaritanspurs.org/OCC. That's samaritanspurs.org/OCC.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure, this is Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. Questions on anything financial. That number to call, 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. Calls are coming in, but we have lines open, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. In addition to your questions today, if you have a testimony, perhaps God has been at work in your marriage related to finances, or you've been successful at paying off debt, or you trusted God in your giving, perhaps giving beyond what you could even see in the immediate future, and God rewarded that. You want to share those stories with us? We'd love to hear those as well. 800-525-7000. Before we head to the phones today, in the news, it seems many young adults continue to experience a failure to launch. According to new data from the Census Bureau, about one in three U.S. adults ages 18 to 34 are still living with mom and dad. This trend spiked during the pandemic, of course, but it's remained high ever since. A 2024 Bank of America survey revealed that more than half of Gen Z adults feel they don't earn enough due to the high cost of living, and many lack emergency savings. A 2019 survey by Merrill Lynch found that one in four parents in the U.S. were helping adult children financially, many of them doing it at the expense of their own retirement plans. Of course, it's great that parents can help their children get through a few rough years, but if you've got a Gen Zer living in the basement, you also need to help them become financially independent. You can set a deadline for moving out, or if they're already out of the house but you're still paying some of the bills, you can start to scale back on that. Perhaps if you have the ability financially, you could have them pay to offset some of those living expenses for being at your home, and maybe you're socking that away in a savings account. And then when they move out, you could bless them with a gift. Maybe you've been squirreling it away. They don't even have to know that necessarily. And then it provides them something to get started, first, last, and security on an apartment, or maybe furnishings, or, you know, picking up a car if they need one, those kinds of things. At some point, what we have to realize is that our love for our kids and our desire to help is actually counterproductive. It might be reinforcing that they don't grow up and making poor decisions and not establishing the rhythms of hard work and careful budgeting and delayed gratification and saving for the future. And so just be careful on that. It might require some tough love along the way, but I think if we're thoughtful and intentional with clear communication and always looking to reinforce the right behaviors. Another example would be maybe they have student loan debt they're trying to pay off before they move out on their own, and perhaps you say you'll match any payments to debt reduction. Again, reinforcing those right behaviors. The big idea here is we need to get them out on their own as hardworking adults, understanding a biblical worldview of money, but also establishing those right and proper disciplines of money management. I hope that helps, and let us know if that's going on in your life. Perhaps we can talk about it here on the broadcast. All right, we're going to dive into your questions today. Again, lines are open. We're ready for you. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Connecticut and welcome Mary to the broadcast. Hi there.
Well, good morning, and to God be the glory. And thank you so much, Rob, for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Part two, I was just listening to your thing, and I have a testimony.
All right.
Have a family of six, myself and five siblings and two parents. Of all of them, we're down to two, just my sister and myself. But my praise report is that God has allowed my husband and I to purchase our home, and we are the first of all of our family members to own a home outright. So
wow.
God has blessed us to be able to pay off that mortgage, and what a blessing that is.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So my question, and I want to hear other people's situations, financial situations as well, so I'll get right to the point. But my husband and I both, Rob, are retired. I have retired a year and a half ago. My husband's been retired for 4 years. My husband has gone back to work because he said he's bored and he needs something else to do. I don't see it quite that way. but at any rate, my question is about our mortgage. Our mortgage is paid off, as I just indicated. We did this year take out a HELOC for just $50,000, and because we wanted to do some renovations to the house, kind of spruce it up. We hadn't done anything since we had owned it, really. Yeah. But my question is, does it make sense, and we have some savings, does it make enough to, and we've been paying off a large amount of, it's a variable rate, but we've been paying a decent amount to the principal directly. So we're really biting into this thing quickly. So we do have enough savings right now, Rob, to go ahead and pay off that HELOC. But I'm wondering, what are the pros and cons to doing so? And my
yes.
husband, by the way, wants to now buy another car, even though we're almost debt-free, buy another car, used car at that, buy
sure.
another used car, because the one we have has served us well. We have two. And the one that he wants to replace, he has almost 200,000 miles on it, but it's solid and it's running well.
Yeah.
What's
very
your advice
good
on those, Rob?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for your testimony. I'm thrilled to hear that you're the first in your family to not only own a home, but to own it free and clear, apart from this HELOC. So that's incredible. And I know that that feels really good when you pay off that mortgage and know that you own something. And I also like the idea that when we are doing renovations from time to time and we've got the financial means to do it, I think a home equity loan or line of credit, depending upon the interest rate environment, can make a lot of sense. But I also like that you're prioritizing getting that paid off and you're actually putting extra toward that on a monthly basis. I assume that has a variable rate time tied to the prime rate. So is it sitting at around 7.5-8%, something like that?
It is. It is. And it's variable. It's a
yeah,
variable
okay,
rate.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense for you to go ahead and pay that off in full just because you're not going to get a guaranteed 8% anywhere, and you are going to get a guaranteed 8% when you pay that off just by paying off that interest. So there's no reason to leave that money sitting in savings when you could, you know, essentially guarantee yourself the equivalent of 8% a year by just not paying that interest any longer. The only thing I just want you to be careful on is I like that you've got surplus, because that's, you wouldn't be able to accelerate those payments if you didn't. So obviously you're living below your means, but I do want you to keep an appropriate amount of reserves in place. How much do you have in savings today?
Right now we have, well, right now I have about 50,000 and okay, just in savings, but we also have our 401k. We have our, which is about, I don't know, about 400,000.
Okay.
And then we have we're on Medicare. So we have Medicare and I have a pension.
Got it. All right. So 50,000 in liquid savings, and that is the extent of your emergency fund, correct?
Yeah. I'll say about 50. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
You're right. You're right.
All
yes.
right. Very mm-hmm. good. And how much surplus do you all have on a monthly basis if you're not paying anything extra on anything?
How much surplus?
Yeah, so after all the bills are paid, before you add something to the HELOC beyond what your scheduled payment is, because it sounds like you've been throwing a little extra at it, but if we don't do that,
yes,
how much extra do you have left over at the end of the month once everything is paid for?
We have a significant amount. It's a significant amount. Our payment, for example, Rob, is
let's do
about,
this. I've got to take a quick break, but I want to get to the rest of this. So stay right there, Mary, and we'll pick it up on the other side.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, Pastor Sam Crabtree, author of the book Practicing Thankfulness, will explain how a thankful heart is crucial in accomplishing God's work in our lives.
God does not waste one shred of the adversity that comes into our life, but he uses it to conform us to the image of Jesus and to develop in us the character of his son.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hi, I'm Riley Wellman, director of the AFA Foundation. One of my main things that I like to do is visit with our supporters, whether it's traveling or just on the phone. We just love to meet with people, and if they have a complicated situation, we would love to sit down and talk with them. You can visit us at afafoundation.net or give us a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. In just a moment, we'll head to Oklahoma and talk to Jeff and Stevens in Georgia. But first, before the break, we were talking to Mary in Connecticut. Mary and her husband are retired. He's been retired for about 4 years and wanting to get a little more active, so going back to work part-time. She's about a year and a half into retirement and enjoying that. They're thrilled to be the first in their family that not only own a home but have been able to pay off the first mortgage. They did take out a second mortgage to do some renovations in the house. Good news is they've got a couple of $1,000 a month surplus, even before he goes back to work, that they've been putting into savings as well as accelerating that payoff of that home equity line of credit. They built up about $50,000 in emergency savings, and she believes her expenses all in, when we include those non-recurring expenses, including the semi-annual expenses, are about $3,000. So if we wanted to keep 3 months of that, we'd probably want to hang on to, you know, at least $9,000 of that, Mary. And I think that would be good, especially since you have a couple of thousand extra per month. You know, that gives you a good bit of buffer there. So I would say, you know, perhaps knocking down that home equity line of credit, you know, down to $40,000. You know, or putting $40,000 against it and dropping it down to $10,000 and then just paying it off over the next 5 months would probably be a good option, because it keeps 3 months' expenses in the bank. It allows you to have it completely paid off in 5 months without ever depleting all of your emergency reserves. So if something unexpected came, you've got something to fall back on. But as soon as you pay off 40 of the 50, now we're saving the 8% interest you were paying on the $40,000. And then 5 months later, it's gone. And, you know, you're completely free and clear. You could keep the line open if you wanted to, but you don't have to. You could go ahead and close it. That would be up to you. But I like that option. You're certainly not getting 8% in your savings account. So I think, you know, taking this approach would help you to pay that off, you know, here in the next 6 months. Does that make sense?
Perfectly sound advice and wisdom. I love it. Thank you, Rob.
Awesome. Well, Mary, I appreciate it. And by the way, kudos to you and your husband for a job well done. Hey, what would you attribute your ability to pay off that first mortgage in full, the first in your family? Was it just living below your means and really being careful with your budgeting? Or what do you think was the key there?
Just trusting and being led by God. I have to attribute it all to that. And it's just God and being directed and asking God for wisdom about it. Yes.
I love it. Well, thanks for sharing that. I know it was an encouragement to some of our listeners today. You're exactly right. God owns it all. It's all from Him. And He is our abundance and our treasure and our provider. And that will never be replaced by anything or anyone else. God bless you, Mary. Thanks for being on the broadcast today. Let's go to Georgia. Stephen, I understand you have a story of God's faithfulness as well. Share that with us.
Yes, I do. Thank you. God's just been so good to me financially. The way I got started in the real estate business was I received an inheritance from a great uncle that I had nothing to do with. And this is something I'd always wanted to get into. And I know God blessed me with that. But this is definitely a seller's market. And just through prayer and being faithful in giving, and God's just, I mean, I've found houses for $100,000 under market price, and that just doesn't happen. It's just been amazing just how much God has showed his love to me and led me to find these deals that just are amazing. God's just, he's so good.
I love that, Stephen. You're exactly right. He sure is good. And I know you've taken that blessing from the Lord, and you've obviously, it's been a part of what you've lived on, but you've also prioritized your giving, I hear, in just reading some of your story here. Share that piece of it with us, as the Lord has prompted you to hold this money loosely and give it generously.
Yeah, I mean, he wants our first fruits, you know, and if we're faithful and give him our first 10%, God can bless that 90% far beyond what we could do in keeping that 100%. I mean, my goal is to be a kingdom financer, and I've taken what God's given me and almost doubled it in equity.
Wow.
And it's just been through his guidance and his faithfulness. It's just, the last 2 years have just been just amazing. I know God's going to continue to help my business grow so I can bless more people and keep giving more and more.
Yeah. Well, that's just the way God's economy works. I love what R.G. Letourneau says. He said, God keeps shoveling it in and I keep shoveling it back out, and God's got a bigger shovel, right? And so, that's just the way, it works when we're giving generously. It's not a prosperity gospel. It's not that we give to get or God's some sort of cosmic vending machine, but it is true that when we are faithful in a little, we're entrusted with much. And, as you continue to give generously, I believe that in part God entrusts to us what he has so that we can then redirect it back into kingdom building activities, not because God needs our money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his. I think it's what he wants for us, not from us. And ultimately he allows us in his grand story to participate in that story in part through our giving, as we're able to be co-laborers with God. And it's just a privilege he gives us. And you've obviously identified that and have been a participant in that. He's given you the ability to make money, and you're doing that well. And in part, you're using that as an engine to fund kingdom building activities. And Stephen, I think that's what it's all about. Listen, thanks for sharing your story with us today, my friend. We appreciate you being on the broadcast. Well, folks, we're just getting started today. We've got plenty more to go. Right after the break, we'll head out to Oklahoma and talk to Jeff. He's wondering about some taxes on his 401k plan when he takes money out. And then Vicky has a HELOC in Virginia. She wants to know whether she should leave that open or not. We'll talk about that straight ahead. Bob Dahl coming up in our last segment today. Bob will weigh in on the markets and the economy. What's going on with CPI, inflation? We'll find out straight ahead.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Send joy to a child in need with Operation Christmas Child. Simply pack a shoebox with fun toys, school supplies, and hygiene items. Then bring it to a drop-off location during National Collection Week, now through Monday. You can also build a shoebox online. The best part is the good news of Jesus Christ is shared alongside your gift, and each child is given the opportunity to participate in a life-changing discipleship program. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure, this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, before we head back to the phones, and by the way, we have lines open, 800-525-7000. Let me remind you, it's Operation Christmas Child National Collection Week this week. That's right, an opportunity to send the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Every shoebox gift is an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ and God's love. Any standard size shoebox will do. You'll pack it up with all of the goodies in there, including a wow item like a stuffed animal or a soccer ball or a clothing outfit, and then you can fill the rest of it with fun toys and personal care items, and then drop it off at one of the collection sites across the country. There's more than 4,700 of them, but you don't want to delay. Go ahead and get your shoebox, go ahead and get it packed, and then drop it off before the end of the week. If you want to find a location near you, just go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. That stands for Operation Christmas Child. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Don't let this week come and go without getting your shoebox in the hands of a child somewhere in the world that needs the love of Christ and a wonderful, blessed Christmas. So make sure you check that out. All right, back to the phones we go. Jeff in Oklahoma has been waiting patiently. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Excuse me. First, I want to say, Lord bless you and your ministry. You're a great inspiration to us that listen to you.
Thank you.
excuse me. My question was, I tried researching it myself, and I was trying to figure out how they figure the capital gains when you pull money out of your 401k. And it was real. I got lost in the weeds on that. But the reason I say that, because the way I would, God has kind of blessed me in my stupidity, so to speak. when I started in 401k as a younger man, I didn't know how to invest it, so I just put it all in company stock, invested it within the 401k with my company stock, and then at that time it was trading at, you know, $20-something a share for the whole time I was there. Well, now it's over $1,200 a share, and I still have it in there.
Wow.
And I was wondering how they figure the capital gains when you go to pull it out, since you put it in at such a varying rate over the years.
Yeah. Wow. Incredible. So it is in a 401k, right? This is not a employee stock ownership program or anything like that.
It's a true 401k.
Okay.
Yes.
So if it's inside a 401k, there are no capital gains. It's actually pretty simple. So what happens is the money goes in pre-tax, and so you exclude the amount that you're deferring through your salary into the 401k from your taxable income. It grows tax deferred, so no capital gains along the way. And when you pull it out, there are no capital gains. You simply add your withdrawal amount to your taxable income in the year of the withdrawal. And so whatever you pull out, so the idea would be, you know, you're during your working years, you're saving and getting the deduction for the contributions. And then at some point, as God redirects you to whatever he has next for you in that retirement season of life, where perhaps you're no longer working for pay, then you replace the income you were getting from your employer with systematic withdrawals from your 401k. And the IRS is just going to ask that you pay income tax on that withdrawal in the year that you take it out. But there's never any capital gains for a 401k.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so you're in great shape. What have you put away, Jeff, in that 401k?
Right now I have about almost $600,000 in that account.
Incredible. Yeah.
And Lord willing, I still have about 10 more years worth of work, but with a different company, and I'm putting in that 401k also. So
awesome. Great. Well, yeah, see, here's the thing, is that Social Security was never intended to cover more than 35 to 40% of your pre-retirement income. Most people live on about 80% of their pre-retirement income. So the idea that you would build up this 401k, which maybe in a decade, it's, you know, $750,000, maybe even pushing $1 million, depending on how the market does, then all of a sudden, if at that point you turn that into a systematic withdrawal of, let's say, 4% a year, that would allow you to pull out perhaps $40,000 a year from that, you know, $1 million or close to it 401k, never see that principal dip below that, you know, balance you have at retirement over time. And, you know, use that to supplement your Social Security so you can maintain your lifestyle and pursue whatever God has for you in that next season.
Oh, yes. I'm with Stephen, your previous caller. You can't outgive God. I mean, there's no way you could do it.
And, exactly,
you know,
right.
He truly blessed me.
Awesome. Well, listen, Jeff, the Lord's giving you some wisdom there. And I think, you know, the key for you right now is to make sure you're properly diversified, despite what happened with you being highly concentrated in that company stock that did exceedingly well. I wouldn't recommend that going forward, because in the same way that you had a single stock run up quite a bit, if you had the same thing happen on the downside, you could lose quite a bit, which is why Ecclesiastes encourages us to diversify and not put all our eggs in one basket. Are you in a much broader investment strategy now?
I need to spread that one out. I have a different 401k through my company I'm with now that I have it diversified. But yeah, I need to get, it's with T. Rowe Price, and I'll need to get with one of their, I have free counseling with them that I could get to, and I'll need to get with them to how to diversify it out. And,
got it. Yeah. I think that would,
thinking along them same lines.
Yeah, that being highly concentrated in company stock is a bit more risky than you want to be. You probably don't want more than 10% in any one company, especially where you're working. So you'd want the rest of it kind of spread out in a good, broad, diversified portfolio. But yeah, I agree. The folks at T. Rowe Price should be able to help you do that. Well, listen, all the best to you, Jeff. Thanks for being on the program today, sir. God bless you. To Virginia we go. Hi, Vicki. How can I help?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. We have a HELOC, and it matures about 2 years after our mortgage will be paid off. And we had to recently use it, and the bank, the people at the bank said, best case scenario is to always hold on, open a HELOC at least after you pay off your house, and that will be a red flag in case someone tries to use your house or get a loan off of your house in a fraudulent situation. Would you recommend that, or do you agree with that, or is it just the bank trying to make us spend more money.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't leave a HELOC open for that reason. I mean, if you're concerned about a fraudulent title transfer, which we're hearing more about lately just because there's companies that offer, quote, title lock insurance, even though it's a misnomer. There is no such thing as insurance against fraud. And so what I would say is if you're concerned about that, I'd call your county records office and see if you can put an alert on your title that would allow them to notify you if there was any changes or any request for changes. But with regard to that HELOC, if it's paid off and you're not planning on using it, I don't see any reason to keep that open. It's probably just sitting there as an enticement for you all to spend money, which I wouldn't want you to do unless you'd really thought through it and prayed through how you're going to use it. So I would say if you're ready to close that down because you don't have a use for it, I would do it without looking back. And I certainly wouldn't leave it open just because it will, you know, prevent somebody from trying to steal your title.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Vicki. Thanks for your call today. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob will weigh in on the markets and the economy. We'll talk about the labor market. We'll talk about the U.S. dollar. How's that been doing since the election? Also, more inflation data out. What did that say? All of that and more straight ahead on Faith and Finance. Don't go anywhere.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what can it hurt? What can it hurt? What can it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at AFA.net.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. In just a moment, we'll be headed back to the phones, and I've got room for maybe one or two more questions today. If you have a question you want to get in the mix on, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. But first, here on a Monday, our good friend Bob Dahl is here. Bob is CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He's a Wall Street veteran, but he's also a Christ follower and helps us navigate the markets each week with his investment commentary. And Bob, a lot to talk about today. Let's start with U.S. CPI. What's the latest news on inflation?
So we got some inflation readings last week, both CPI and PPI, and mostly in line with expectations, but a little bit to the upside. We had headline inflation reaccelerating on an annual basis, Rob, from 2.4 to 2.6%. Kind of moving in the wrong direction from the Fed's 2% target, and our fear is that's probably going to continue. We're not worried about inflation going back to 9%, but as you know, we don't think we're getting to 2%.
Yeah, and I think the obviously the dirty little secret about inflation is that it's always cumulative, right? So we're building on top of that 9% and then the 4% and now the 3%. And so things aren't going to get any less expensive. We're just slowing the rate of increase, right?
Exactly. In fact, if you look at the polling coming out of the exit polls for the election, there was a distinguishing between the two. People were not necessarily concerned about the inflation rate. They're concerned about the price level because we've had so much inflation in recent years. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. All right, Bob. What about a rate cut then in light of that? Obviously, we were seeing these first two cuts as just the beginning of hopefully what is perhaps a number of rate cuts. I mean, we had, what, 11 over a couple of year period, and now we need to kind of unwind that. And yet stock market, hitting all-time highs and the talk of now more growth with the Trump economic policy. How does all that intersect with inflation, and where do you think the Fed's headed?
You guessed it all right. That is to say, the probability, looking at the futures market, of a December cut, which would have been close to 100% a couple of months ago, is now down to just over 50%. And it's for the various reasons you just said. Inflation's not going down, and looks like we're going to have more stimulus in the economy with the president-elect renewing the tax cuts that are set to expire this year. So all that creates more economic growth, and probably the Fed is going to have trouble lowering rates like many of us thought they would.
Yeah. Bob, how will the Fed allow the dollar, the U.S. dollar, to affect that decision making, and what's been happening there lately?
Yeah, so the dollar, first of all, the facts are up. The dollar is up about 6% since the Fed raised rates a couple of months ago, with about half of that coming since the election. So the election outcome has been viewed as dollar bullish, as, of course, is stronger growth. And that's what we've had really since Labor Day, stronger than expected. And that puts another stop sign in front of the Fed for raising rates. The more the Fed raises rates, the more the dollar goes up. And that has mixed consequences. Let's just leave it there.
Bob, we've talked a lot about the labor market, and obviously that's where the rubber meets the road. We've got to keep people employed in this country. What's the latest data saying?
Still good, but softening. The softening has been a slow, steady process over the last few months. Next big reading will come the first Friday in December, and we'll see. But the number of new jobs has definitely slowed a bunch, and that makes getting a job a little more difficult. We'll watch that carefully.
Bob, what is your overall sentiment right now? I mean, you're obviously managing billions of dollars in the market, and you're seeing this tug of war between the expected deregulation and a lower tax environment. On the other side, we have really expensive stocks. How are you weighing all of that?
Well, we've been using the phrase, we are in a momentum-driven, high-risk bull market. Bull market means passive resistance is up. Momentum-driven is it goes up because it went up yesterday, which is not really a good sign. And the high risk, of course, is the high valuation. So there's no question that the promise of more spending, of lower tax rates, is economy and therefore earnings positive. But as you point out, the other side of this is, but wait a minute, aren't stocks already selling way into the 20s when it comes to P.E. ratio? So at some point, we'll meet the piper, but not just yet. I think it makes next year stock market more difficult. Doesn't mean it has to go down, but I think making money like we have more than 20% in the last 2 years is a tall order.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, one of the things I know a lot of folks like to look at is kind of what, quote, smart money is doing. And one of those that you highlighted today is our good friend Warren Buffett. What is going on with Berkshire Hathaway, and how does that translate into where the market might be headed?
Berkshire Hathaway has been slowly but surely, maybe not so slowly, selling stocks and now has 28% cash. That's the highest in many decades for Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway. Buffett is a very value-oriented investor. When values aren't good, he parts with stocks and holds cash, and then he's always smart when the market goes down to accumulate them at better prices. So we've got to pay attention to, as you say, somebody smart like Warren Buffett. Now, he's got a very long time horizon, so if the market continues to go a bit higher, he's not going to be upset.
Yeah. All right, Bob, what about geopolitics? Obviously, we've seen what's going on with just Ukraine and Russia over the weekend, and obviously those tensions continue to mount. President-elect Trump is going to bring some strength to the conversation in a variety of domains, including China. How does all of that play out in the markets over the next year, in your view?
Well, it creates, at the moment, uncertainty. In fact, the essay we wrote this week is entitled "The Outlook for Stocks and Bonds is Near Peak Uncertainty," and this is one of the reasons. President-elect Trump, looking at his first term, operated from a position of strength in order to pressure our adversaries, and he's likely to do the same. That's a change from where we've been, and we'll see how that plays out in our relationship with Russia, Iran, China, and everybody else.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Bob, let's finish with what's going on in values-based and faith-based investing. What's got you most excited these days?
Most excited is the number of conversations we are having. A lot of it's education. We're finding more and more Christians and financial advisors who just want to know, what is this all about? A lot of them will say, I didn't know this existed. But the typical reaction when a believer finds out that you can invest your money along with your faith beliefs, they're very interested in taking it the next step. So lots more to come as this piece of the business continues to grow.
Well, we're grateful for all the leadership you and the team at Crossmark are providing in this space to give Christians compelling investment options, even award-winning, but also make sure they're aligned with their values at the same time. It's great work, and we appreciate your time today.
The same to you.
All right. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer and CEO at Crossmark Global Investments. If you want to learn more or sign up to receive Bob's weekly investment commentary called Dahl's Deliberations, you'll find that at crossmarkglobal.com. All right. I've got room for perhaps one more question today. If you've got something going on in your financial life you'd like to talk about it, that number 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before we close out the broadcast today, it's a great opportunity for me to remind you, this is a really important season for us here at FaithFi. We're looking to finish our ministry year strong. And to do that, we had some generous friends come alongside us to say, listen, we're going to put up $150,000. We know your goal between now and the end of the year is $300,000. And we want to put half of it there, but we're only going to release it as money comes in from listeners, which just simply means between now and December 31st, every gift is doubled. Gifts of all sizes, 50 is 100, 100 is 200, even those $1,000 and $3,000 gifts will be doubled up to $150,000. So if this ministry has been a blessing to you, perhaps you listen regularly or you've benefited from some of the advice shared, maybe you've been encouraged as you've heard some of the testimonies even today, and you'd like to ensure that Faith and Finance continues strong and that more people are equipped with the resources of the ministry, a great way to help us do that is to come alongside with your financial support. So if you'd make a gift, it will be doubled right now at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com. Just click give. And I will mention, for those of you who have a bit more than you need and you could make one of those $1,000 or $3,000 gifts that would be a leadership gift, those go a long way to helping us reach our goal. Again, faithfi.com. Just click give. All right, we're going to finish today in Texas. Sean, you'll be our final caller. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Hi. A couple years ago, we signed up for an indexed annuity.
Yeah.
And we had parked a couple hundred thousand there. The last couple years, I've seen, you know, especially this year, I've seen the stock market has rallied and done tremendous. And I noticed our funds for 2 or 3 years now in a row is sitting at no earnings at all. And I'm just curious,
because we have a penalty to pull it out. You know, I'm trying to figure out what to do there, if I should just leave it or try to take the penalty and move it somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to take a little bit more analysis. I think you're right to question that, though. You've got a lot of things going on. And the reason I don't love annuities, including indexed annuities, is they're complicated. So you have cap rates, which is the max you can earn in a given year. You have participation rates, which is the percent of the market's gain that's applied to your annuity. You've got the fees as well. And then you've got the actual index that it's tied to. And that's perhaps the driver of whether or not you received anything this year. So I would connect with a certified Kingdom advisor to analyze what you have at faithfi.com and then decide whether it makes sense to pull it out or just to ride this out until you get past that surrender penalty. You'll find somebody at faithfi.com. Thanks, Sean. A big thanks to my team today. Hey, come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.